Welcome to Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide to growth for managed service providers. In this series, MSP entrepreneur James Vickery and author of Infinite Scale shares what he has learned about taking control of your business so you can break free from the tools, win more customers, and be more profitable.
Hey everyone, James here, and I am insanely excited because I've got the man himself, Nigel Moore, from Tech Tribe along with me today. G'day, Nigel.
G'day, James. It is finally good to be interviewed by a fellow Aussie, so one of us doesn't have one of those weird-sounding accents from the other side of the world.
You know, Nigel, I was talking to our producer, Patrick, and said, we're going to get Nigel Moore on the show, and he said, who is that? And I said, well, he's the red-headed Tony Robbins of the MSP space. He's the inspiration. I'd be amazed if anybody doesn't actually know who you are, but why don't you just spend a bit of time telling us about yourself, where you're coming from, maybe talk a little bit about Tech Tribe.
So Tech Tribe came out of me making a million mistakes in the industry. And so I used to run and own an MSP. I ran one for about 7 years, and then I ended up owning that MSP for about 8 or 9 years. And it eventually was acquired in 2016. And during that time, I made a bajillion mistakes, as I like to say, and learned a hell of a lot of lessons. And in 2016, I then, as I said, the MSP was acquired, and I started the Tech Tribe, which is the community and program that I wished I had access to avoid making all the mistakes that I made over the years. And the Tech Tribe since then has grown up to this awesome program and community of MSPs around the world. We've got, at the time of recording, about 500 in there now, where we're teaching and coaching and enabling them how to better run their MSP.
Amazing. I've actually been along to Tech Tribe. You've invited me inside the inner sanctum, and mate, the number of resources that you have in there for MSPs, I've got to agree that, you know, trying to figure all of this stuff out by yourself when these resources are available, it's been, you know, I must be really amazing for the members to be able to tap into that. So that's really cool. And you ran an MSP for 9 years, did you say?
So I was working in it and then running it for another gentleman for about 6 or 7 years. Yep. And then through a strange series of events, which is probably an episode for another day, I ended up owning my own MSP. And I ran that for about 8 years, about 2 years before my MSP was acquired in 2016. Myself and a friend pulled our MSPs together, and we ran them as a bigger one, and then we sold that bigger one together.
Yeah, cool. And I was just looking, and you don't have enough grey hairs, man, for someone that's run an MSP.
They're coming out the beard. So. But if you look underneath the hat, all of the hair disappeared. That's what happened to me instead.
Yeah. And you've written a book.
I have.
So tell us about the book, and tell us about, you know, for anyone that hasn't had a chance to pick it up yet, maybe how to get hold of it. But just walk me through, you know, how you came to write a book, and what is the kind of the stages that you take people through in this book as well?
So in our industry, anyone will know that the most asked question is, how the heck do I price my offerings? I often get asked that question far more than I get asked the question of, how do I find more clients? And so I was answering this thing of, how do I price my offerings, or how do I price my managed service plans? I must have been asked it 300 or 400 times. And each time you get asked it, you come up with different ideas and answers, and you coach people through different things. And so I thought, stuff it. Instead of sitting there and trying to deliver this content on a one-to-one basis, I'm going to get all this stuff down in a book, get all the best practices out, get all the learnings out that I've had over the years, and get all the learnings that I've seen behind the scenes from all the other successful MSPs that I have worked with over the years into one big book. And now when somebody asks me, how the heck do I price my things, I send them to the book and I say, come back and talk to me after you've read that.
That's really cool. Well, having gone through that process myself, writing a book, it's a huge challenge. And
it is.
Yeah, congratulations on getting it done. You. I think it took me about 18 months to get it out, and mostly because I kept going over chapter one over and over again. Eventually, someone helped me pull through and get it done.
Well, so, it's funny, right? Because that's exactly what happens to MSPs with their pricing plans.
Exactly.
They sit on figuring out what the base level of their pricing plans is going to be for 18 months instead of getting it out into the marketplace. And this book is designed to help people get over that procrastination mode.
So is there a one-size-fits-all when it comes to pricing?
You'll have to read the book.
You got to read the book?
Absolutely not. There is no one-size-fits-all because As some of you in the industry will know, there is a gentleman called Paul Dipple who runs Service Leadership, and he talks about MSPs having different operational maturity levels, ranging from basic 1, 2, 3-man bands all the way up to 100, 200, 300 person MSPs. And each MSP, as they go through those operational maturity levels, have different ways that their plans can work better for them. So when you're at a lower level in those maturity levels, when you're a 1, 2, 3, 5, 10-man shop, you're better off structuring your plans and offering in a certain way versus when you're a 100 or a 200 seat shop, it's better to do it completely differently.
Gotcha.
And so there is no one size fits all. The answer really is going out and figuring out what works best for you in your marketplace at your size and at your maturity level in your business at that particular point in time.
And profitable.
Correct. Has to be profitable.
That's right. I mean, we talk to tons of MSPs and we sort of unravel a lot of agreements that we see out there where it sounded like a good idea at the time. Maybe $1,000 a month sounds like a really great deal for you. And then we find out that, 30, 40, 50, 60 hours are being sunk into the service each month, all the tools, the kitchen sinks being thrown in, and now these contracts aren't profitable anymore. So does your book kind of help with that?
It does. There is a chapter in there that runs through gross margin management, which is one of the most untapped areas of reporting that I see most MSPs make in their PSA tools or their ticketing tools. Is it's all good and well to go out and sign a $1,000 agreement or a $10,000 agreement or whatever it happens to be. But if you aren't reporting on your gross margins out of that agreement, then you have no idea whether you're making any money or not.
Yeah.
And most of the PSA tools or most of the larger ticketing tools have the ability to be able to print your gross margin reports out of them and report on it, but they don't do it in a way that I believe is best. And the reason being is that they print them out and they tell you what last month was, which is all good and well to know what your last month was. But if you're not comparing that to your previous month and your previous month and tracking it on a historical level, you're not seeing the trends. So you're not spotting the trends as to whether an agreement is starting to get more unprofitable or on the flip side, starting to get more profitable, which can also be a problem. And so I run through a little bit of a process in one of the chapters in the book about how you should be regularly reporting on your agreements and historically comparing the trends that you spot in them and what to do either way, if you are too profitable or if you're completely unprofitable.
That's awesome, man. Something we talk about a lot at Benchmark is that if you don't know these numbers, you can't capacity plan either.
Correct. Yeah.
So you don't know if you don't know what the average trend has been over, say, a 12-month period in terms of usage of your contract, how do you know how many resources you're going to need for, say, the next few months to deliver on your services? And that results in capacity gaps, and ultimately that results in delivery problems for your customer, right?
100%. And in the small MSPs, which let's face it, the vast majority of the MSP space is under 20 seats, under 20 seats in their business. In that space, what quite often happens is the owner then steps in when you have capacity problems because they haven't spotted them, and they get stuck in this hamster wheel of working in the service delivery department and not having any time to go out and grow their team. And unfortunately, it gets these people, a lot of MSPs at that size, kind of the 2, 3, 4 seat to the 15, 20 seat, they get stuck in that hamster wheel at that stage because they haven't done any future forward thinking or future planning based on the trending of their agreements and their revenue and their margins as they're scaling the business up.
Got it. So pricing's a huge obstacle, packaging it up, getting it right, getting your margins right. What are some of the other obstacles that you see for MSPs today?
Well, good question. Most people think the big obstacles out there in the marketplace at the moment are their competition or the big guys like Microsoft and whatnot. And I call crap on all of that. The competition out there at the moment is absolutely not the big guys. It's not the Microsofts of the world. It's not the Googles of the world. It's not the Amazons of the world. And it is most certainly not the competition in your marketplace. Your biggest competition is, or our biggest competition for all of us, is our mindset and what's going on between our two ears. And I see so many MSPs that have got these awesome opportunities out in front of them, but they don't have the belief system instilled in their mind to be able to go out and take advantage of that opportunity. And it never comes down to that my competition is taking my customers away from me. It's that I don't believe that I can go and go grab these new customers because I don't have the belief either in myself, my product, my delivery, my anything to do with my business. And that to me is the biggest opportunity that most MSPs have, is to go and work on that belief themselves and that mindset around making yourself comfortable, knowing that you can go out and create some good and go and take advantage of these huge opportunities that are in literally every single marketplace out there.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm so glad you said that, because it's something we talk about a lot in the podcast, is mindset. And I can relate to this, because when I was a smaller MSP, I just thought everybody else was doing better than me. I just thought everybody else was more capable.
Comparison analysis.
It was crazy. Yeah. And, now kind of being a few years down the road, you start to realize that most MSPs have the same technical capability, right? Like right. Most of us are doing the same thing. You know, support is support. Infrastructure is infrastructure. There's not too many kind of like, you know, left of field complex environments out there. So really what you're saying is that all we've got to do collectively as MSPs is say, I'm as good as the next guy, or if not better than the next guy, and I can go out there and win that work as well.
Correct. And if you completely disbelieve that you are as good as the next guy, then that shows that you've got some service delivery things that you need to go and work on, or some customer experience things that you need to go and work on, which in reality is not that hard to go and deliver an awesome customer experience to clients in this day and age, especially with all the amazing tools and technology we have access to. It's quite easy to craft an awesome customer experience. And then once you've got that awesome customer experience, you've got that belief there that you are offering an awesome product, which then opens you up to be comfortable to go and do your sales and marketing, which is the one area that a lot of smaller, especially MSPs, shy away from is sales and marketing, because they don't like getting their name and their face out there in the world because they lack that underlying belief in what they're offering.
See that a lot. And there's offline things that you can do too, right? I mean, something that we talked about in the book and we've talked about in Infinite Scale and we've talked about in the podcast is getting in the mindset sometimes means pulling yourself out of the day-to-day.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And so away from your computer. Around that? I mean, I think we've spoken before, but, you know, it's the things that you sometimes do outside your business that help build your confidence up, that when you go back into the business, you feel like, man, I've got this today. I can take this on. So have you got any suggestions or tips for anything?
Loads of them. I think there's an entire book I can write on this stuff. Some of the ones that move the needle for me, because James, I was in the same spot as you for many years in my MSP, is I always looked around at my competition and went, oh, like we aren't as good as them and we're not doing this. But I never looked at the good stuff we were doing. I never sat and took a proper objective look at all the amazing stuff that we were actually creating for our clients. And there was actually a lot when I sat down and did it. And so one of the things that I did a couple of years into my journey is I started taking semi-regular personal retreats away from the my home as well as away from the business. And during those times, I wouldn't take any technology with me. So I wouldn't jump onto a laptop and work. I would only take analog stuff. I'd take big notebooks and lots of colored pens. And I would just sit and draw out all the different good things that are happening and all the things that I want to work on and all my ideas and plans, and I'd workshop different things for a day or two at a time. And I'd come away from those things with complete new energy and invigoration to get and priorities of what to dive into in the business. And so that was one of the first things I worked on. One of the other things that I do a lot of is, and this is starting to err into the woo-woo side of the realm here, is I journal every single day. I write in a physical journal. I've got one sitting here beside me. And I handwrite in a physical journal every single day. And I quite often write about all of the good things that I've got going on to start off. And then I start writing about all the challenges that I've got going on in front of me. And what happens is as I start writing about the challenges, I might be writing about a challenge around hiring a new position or how to craft a new position. What happens is that instead of thinking about that challenge in my head where a million other thoughts are going on and I'm thinking at the speed of light up in there, I tend to slow that thought process down when I'm journaling through these problems. And what happens is I start to think at a different speed, and that slows down my process of coming up with ideas. And it's amazing that the type of problems that I have solved just by writing about them versus trying to think through them in my head. I would say in the last 3 to 5 years, I have solved 60 to 70% of my big challenging business problems through writing in my journal alone.
That's amazing, right?
It is huge. And it blew my mind, because I 5 years ago, I was the least woo-woo person on this planet.
Yeah.
And someone told me to go and do meditation or journaling or whatnot, I'd tell them to go and jump off a cliff, because it's woo-woo garbage. But until I then started diving in and I was working with a high-performance coach at the time that kind of forced me into doing it, and started seeing the actual benefits from it, then that's when I realized that this kind of woo-woo stuff does have a place out there. And the more I dive into it, the better. And as at today, I think I'm at somewhere around 1,500 days in a row without missing a beat doing daily meditation and daily journaling. And they have completely changed my world.
Amazing. Yeah. Something actually I wanted to talk about is I read an amazing book called The Power of Full Engagement. And I really recommend checking that out as well if you haven't checked it out.
Is the author's surname Schwartz or something?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I know the book, I haven't read it.
Yeah, well, one of the cool things about that is what they did is studied a bunch of executives and said, all right, Well, they looked at Olympians and then they looked at executives and they said, how do you manage your energy like an athlete?
Right.
So when you go to work, instead of just like diving into tickets or diving into finance, structuring your day. So it might be journaling at the start of the day, might be meditation, it might be how much water you drink. It's those breaks between, if you are working tickets and a lot of people are, it's like steps, walking away from your desk for 5 minutes. Taking that time to breathe, taking
getting
that time
in the right
to drink
state.
Some water. And so all of this is a system, and it sounds like you've developed a system around your energy and you've developed a woo-woo system to tap into some of the problem-solving things that don't exist in the system. And we talk about that a lot as well, is that not all the answers are inside the computer, Nigel.
None of them are. None of the answers that I've found are inside the computer.
Yeah.
I find them elsewhere.
Yeah, and that was big. Even when I tried to get into sales and marketing, and we actually talked about this in an earlier episode, is that I came to realize that sales and marketing had very little to do with the tools.
Yeah.
It had very little 100%. To do with just, you know, the number of posts I see. Someone says, what CRM should I buy? It's like, well, how many leads do you have?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, how many opportunities are you working right now? My CRM is knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Right. Or putting content out there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, really cool. So developing new systems in order to be more effective at what you do, to raise your confidence level, taking that time to have some gratitude for the things that you've got. You say that is what's going to really drive your performance.
It's one of the key things that's driven my performance and some of the people I work with, is that taking steps away from the digital and going analog in certain parts of our world and slowing things down.
Yeah.
And my other thing that I'll throw in at the end here is working with some coaches. Don't ever try and follow this journey alone. I like to say that everyone should have four different types of people in their business journey. And those are, number one, the inspirational people. They're the people that are many, 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 many steps ahead of you. They might be your Tony Robbins or your Richard Bransons or your Elon Musks that you probably will never get a chance to speak to in your life, but you can be inspired by the way that they think really big. Then you've got the people two or three steps in front of you, the people that have just gone and done what you've done a year or two or three or four before. And you've got access to these people typically. And I say to any MSB is find these people and get around them, whether it's through coaching or peer groups or masterminds or whatever it is. Then the third group of people I say that every business owner should have around them is their peers. These are the people that are on the same level as you, that you're sharing the journey with, that you're talking through your struggles with, and they are typically in some kind of peer group or mastermind as well. And then the people that, to me, in this stage of my journey that are most important to me are the people that are just a couple of steps behind me that I am teaching and coaching now. Because as they say, the more you teach, the more you learn. And I am learning an incredible amount more now teaching and coaching people just a few steps behind me than what I ever learned. And so I always say that those are the four people that every business owner should have in their journey. The inspirational people out in front, the people just a couple of steps ahead of you, the people beside you on the journey, and those people just a couple of steps behind you on your journey.
Man, that's awesome. I can't tell you how helpful peer groups have been for me on my business journey. You know, I spent years in the weeds figuring things out by myself. Then you meet a bunch of people that are going through the same thing, right?
Yep.
And you realize, hang on a second, I'm not alone. And then as you say, sort of stepping up. So, you know, I joined Entrepreneurs Organization about 5 years ago. And man, when you're in a room with people that, I was like the smallest guy in the room. I was the littlest company. And you level up, right?
Yep.
You start to realize, hey, actually, these are just other people, right? These are people just like me. They might be a step or two ahead. Let's go on that trajectory. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And it's funny, the further you go along on your trajectory, the harder it is to find those peer groups, because there's obviously, the further you go up the business chain, the less businesses people there are that are in front of you. And it becomes a pay to play game. And so back in when I was running my MSP in the early days, there were these free peer groups around, or peer groups that you might pay $500 a year or whatever to join, that I got incredible value out of back then, and had some incredible relationships that I built that I've still got to this day. However, as my business journey progressed and my maturity in running businesses progressed, I then got to the point where I outgrew those ones and I had to go searching for others. And then over the years, I have been in a vast number of different membership programs or peer groups or high performance coaching programs that now I typically spend close to six figures most years just on these programs, just in a pay to play scenario to get around the big thinkers, to be able to be in the proximity of these people that are thinking big and doing big and creating big. Because as they say, a rising tide floats all boats. And so paying to be around these people is often the best investment I ever make in my business.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So we fixed everyone's mindset, Nigel.
They're all solved now.
Solved. Where's the opportunity? We're just about to head into 2020. Love the year. Love the year, right? 2020.
The start of a new decade.
So we've got 2020 vision coming in. Where's the opportunity for MSPs over the next 12 months, in your view?
The MSP space is at such a great spot at the moment, and a lot of people disagree, a lot of smaller MSPs disagree with this, and I'd like to challenge them on that, because right now you're at a state where it's kind of this perfect storm. You've got access to these absolutely mature tools nowadays, these tool sets that back when you and I, James, were starting to run our MSP, we cobbled together these piecemeal tools. Nowadays, all these tools, these PSAs and these RMMs and these documentation tools and everything are so mature now that it makes it very easy. But we also have a marketplace that absolutely understands IT now. And 5-10 years ago, IT never got a seat at the table, at the board table. Nowadays, it's an absolute vital part of every business, and people understand that and they're willing to spend on that. But what's also happened now, so you've got those two plays at force right now in the MSP space, but the third biggest one right now is that there is so much technology out there for businesses to be able to use in their business that it is so confusing for them to come in and go, okay, well, how do I get started, or what do I use, or how do I adopt it?
Yeah.
And that third piece there is where there is so much opportunity coming into this next decade around technology adoption and education for businesses to help them leverage their technology better so they can innovate faster or be more profitable or hire more people or hire less people or do whatever it is they've got to do by using all the amazing tools that they've got access to out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to challenge you on the tools front.
Some aren't mature.
what I've found, and I think we're even going to do an episode on this soon, is that the tools are there, but it's when should you adopt the tool? Do you have the capacity to adopt the tool? So I can't tell you, Nigel, how many people I've seen and met through the MSP space that are constantly buying like the latest PSA, the latest documentation platform, the latest. And when we, you know, through Benchmark, we work with the partner's tools. And when we log in, the tool's not even set up, right? Like
it's
there's
very
no data in there, or like you kind of had a little go at it and then they've been dragged off into other aspects of the business. So, you know, you don't need to answer this, but I think that any advice around just in terms of adoption within your own MSP, as well as helping your customers adopt tools as well.
Yeah. So the biggest thing there is the grass is not greener on the other side. Do not change your tools faster than you change your underwear, which we see all too often in the MSP space. The reality is you can pick any of the tier one tools that are out there, the tier one PSAs, the tier one RMMs, and any of these tools, and you will have, if you put in a little bit of intentional time and effort and perhaps work with an expert to help you set the stuff up, you will have a world-class customer service delivery system in there. It's as simple as that. Yeah. But you have to go and invest the time into them. And you also need to realize that these tools are not a one-and-done thing. You don't go and put in a PSA tool and set it up in the first month and be done with it. Our ticketing system, we used to use one of the main two ticketing systems, and we must have spent thousands of hours configuring it over the 6 or 7 years that we used it, and we would have spent thousands of hours more configuring it over the next 5 to 10 years because we were continually incrementally improving everything in our business. And so we'd get to a certain point and it would be working really, really well, but then we get to the next stage in the business and we'd scale this department a little bit more and we'd go and use a tool for that. And so my encouragement there is with tools is go and pick the tier one ones out there, or maybe perhaps a tier two. There's some pretty good tier two RMM tools and PSA tools that are starting to come out at the moment. And then set the tool up for what you need right now. Because as James says, too many MSPs think that then they're running a 50-seat MSP when they're only running a 2-seat MSP. And you don't need to set your tool up as a 50-seat MSP right where you are at the moment.
Well, and that's part of the challenge. Like I know when our MSP was at its peak, we literally had individuals assigned to modules in the PSA system in order for it to run effectively because the PSA was only as good as the data that you put in. And if the software was not configured correctly and it was a dynamic thing, so it might be configured right for us at 5 people, but when we got to 20 people, it was not set up correctly. So taking that time to actually understand before you invest in the tool, how much am I going to have to invest ongoing in order to make it work like the sales pitch, right?
Correct.
And so I think I agree with you. If you can find something to meet your needs today, go ahead with that and then focus on sales, marketing, mindset, grow your business, right?
Sales, marketing, and mindset. That's where you're going to get the most growth in this world, because once you get money flowing in the door, money solves many of these other problems, especially even around setting up your tool. There is loads of awesome industry experts now that sit around each tool. So there's awesome ConnectWise experts and awesome Autotask experts and awesome experts around all the PSA and RMM tools that instead of you sitting there and wasting your highly valuable time that could be devoted to relationship building or sales and marketing, instead of you wasting your time sitting on trying to build up all these little tiny parts of the tool, go and outsource it to these guys that not only do they know all the little parts of the tool already, but they're also working across tons of different clients in the industry. So they are seeing the best practices, exactly like you guys are doing for your clients out there as an MSP.
100%, man. Couldn't agree more. So, Nigel, at the end of each of our podcasts, we try to give some takeaway value. So I'm going to ask you for three things that our audience can take away today, go away and apply in their business.
Ooh. So number one would be if you don't have the people that are a couple of steps ahead of you in their journey, in your journey, in your world, go and find them. If that means going and joining a program, going and joining a mastermind, a peer group or whatever it is, do not hesitate. Go and join it. Do not worry about how much money you're going to invest in it, because if you put the time into it, you will typically get that money back tenfold.
Right away. Almost right away.
You're correct. Almost right away. Yeah. I've spent $30,000 joining programs before and I've had it back within 2 months.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then it just continues at the pace from there. Number two, focus on working on our mindset and our belief systems in ourselves every day, or in yourself every day. And that might be something as simple as trying to look for what our blind spots might be, like asking questions about what our blind spots might be, or working with some sort of mindset coach or a high performance coach that can dive into some of our limiting beliefs that are holding us back out there. And number three would be focus on sales and marketing. Too many MSPs don't focus heavily enough on sales and marketing. And then when there's some sort of economic downturn, or when they lose a key client, which a lot of smaller MSPs have these key clients, when that happens, they are in a dire straits, and they're worrying about paying themselves. And I've seen some MSPs that go down to paying themselves $15,000, $20,000 a year for 1 or 2 or 3 years because they had no sales and marketing engine that they'd built in their business. And so you hear lots of people talk about getting a growth engine in your business, but in this day and age, it's necessary. You have to have some sort of engine in your business that's fueling you and delivering you leads in some way, shape, or form that you can start to build a relationship and nurture and move along that sales journey. Because churn in our industry, whilst it's quite low, and churn is clients that leave for whatever reason, whilst it's typically quite low across our industry, it still exists.
Yeah.
And it exists for reasons that are out of our control, things like administrations or businesses getting purchased or bankruptcies or things like that. And so you need to have some sort of intentional growth engine in your business to make sure that you've got ways to pick up that slack when those gaps appear.
Yeah. Well, we call that the leaky bucket.
Yeah, there you go. 100%.
The leaky bucket. There's an episode.
It's always
there.
You guys
scroll back. We've done an episode on that a couple of weeks back. And it might not be your fault, but it's going to happen. At
100%.
Some point, a client's going to drop out of the bucket and you need to have more coming in the top. Right?
And I'm sure you and I have had 1 bajillion of those mistakes where we didn't have that bucket ready for any more to come in, and we lost a key client for no fault of our own. And it's a tough time.
It is. But we can solve it.
100%. Right?
Totally. Nigel, it has been absolutely awesome having you on the show, man. Hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you.
I mean, we've got so much to talk about, we can't even fit it in.
Anytime. I love these podcast episodes, and I love getting our thoughts and our crazy stuff that bounces around in our heads out into a medium that goes and throws it into other MSPs' heads, so it bounces around in there as well.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast, and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Au revoir.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.